and the wonderment of childhood. He can portray that.
Wonderment?
Is that a real word?
I don't think so. Say it again and see if it sounds right.
Wonderment. It's a type of gum.
Wonderment gum. Get it down at the Neverland convenience store. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
A man so deep, he's almost unfathomable. A man so quick, he's even fast asleep. I give you the steel-handed stingray, Captain James Gus.
Whoa.
That's somewhat underwhelming.
Gus.
It should have been Captain Gus Hook.
Nah.
Captain James Peepee. This movie is just called Peepee.
They could say Captain James Stewart.
Captain Jim Stewart, here at your service. I wouldn't steal your kids. I'd just come over and say hi.
Just offer him some brandy like a real bad man.
Well, no, they weren't feeling well. I'd offer him some medicine. We don't call it brandy. It's just you drink it down like syrup. Spoonful of brandy helps the medicine go down.
Go down.
Yeah. But I am your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Captain Gus over there. And welcome to the Brothers Movie Factory. We are a podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies. We are known as the...
Movies.
Thank you. You know, every now and again, I like that tagline. I developed that tagline on my noggin.
Your melon.
Yeah, my melon. And every now and again, I'll like listen to the start of the podcast, and I'll be like, I did not say
it. Say it that time.
Yeah. But what we do here on this here podcast is every week we take a film, we then watch that movie, and kind of take to the pod and discuss what we liked about it, what worked, what didn't, what we would change, etc. Then we submit that movie to the factory. That is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would be like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just modern booking. And then at the end, we just kind of wrap it up in a nice little bow. But with that being said, tonight we watched 1991's... Would you say it's a cult classic or just a classic now?
Tough. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a cult classic. I'd say it's a classic.
Classic?
I would.
The 1991 classic Hook.
Yeah, so...
Why did we watch it?
So we recently had Robin Williams... death anniversary, and once a year ever since August 11th, 2014, I watch Hook. So yes, this year I did watch Hook on the 11th, so I watched it twice this week.
Yar.
How about?
Ar.
Ar.
Fine, and you?
Not bad.
Ah, good.
All right. this movie's very special. And it's funny that it's special to so many people, but when it came out, it was, not that it was horribly received, but it wasn't received to the standard that a lot of people have it at today.
That was like the first thing I said when the movie ended, which was like 5 minutes ago. I was like, I'm astonished that like people didn't like this movie when it came out.
Even the director, Steven Spielberg, didn't like it when it came out. He wasn't happy with how the flying effects turned out.
I think they look good still.
He wasn't happy with just the overall production of it. Like, there were a lot of complicated things and having young children. And he jokingly even said, like, he'll never have another child after making this movie. Just a lot of complex things that just weren't working out. And in the final product, as, like, an artist, he wasn't satisfied, I guess. And even in, like, interviews, he never really brings up Hook. Whenever it says, like, Steven Spielberg, director of Jaws and E.T. and and Minority Report.
And Duel.
Yeah.
Minority Report's a fucking movie.
I mentioned that just as like a more modern Steven Spielberg film, you know.
Steven Spielberg, the director of Hook. And that is all.
The director of Hook and Big Friendly Giant. Remember he directed that?
And War Horse. Also, Schindler's List.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of neglects to mention it. It's because he wasn't happy with it overall. He didn't revisit that movie until Robin Williams' death.
Like, he didn't actually go back and watch it again?
No. Mm. And
I wonder how many directors actually, like, watch their film when it's over.
I don't know.
Because I know there's a lot of, like, actors that choose not to watch, like, mm-hmm. Gwyneth Paltrow.
yeah, apparently. Who's in this movie.
Hey.
Who's also, Spielberg is her godfather.
Yar.
So
we've talked about that.
Yeah,
he
tried to watch it and he couldn't do it because he was just so overcome with emotions seeing his friend Robin Williams there. And after viewing it, it was only after then that he's like, you know what? I'm glad we made that movie.
Like, fuck, that's good.
That's some good shit. And I think it is like this. Hey, you hear me say it a lot, but this is true. Damn it. This is in
top 10.
No, top 5. Top 5.
Boy, howdy.
Top 5 favorite movies of all time. Just I it's just so special to me, and it has my favorite actor of all time and Robin Williams
is
here.
Your favorite?
Favorite of all time. Yep.
I don't even know if I can have a favorite.
Oh, Jimmy. In the one movie.
The one movie I've seen him in, it's been iconic though.
Yeah. Robin Williams for sure in movies like The Fisher King and Dead Poets
Society.
Yes,
yeah. Iconic as hell for me.
Hook, Mrs. Doubtfire, What Dreams May Come, even his voice work in
Aladdin.
If
that movie even touches Hook, I will kill you.
What movie?
What Dreams May Come.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's from Family Guy. Okay. He's trying to give him... He wants to buy Roadhouse. The guy's like, I'll throw in What Dreams May Come for free. And he's like, I do not want it. He's like, but it's free, sir. He's like, that movie so much as touches Roadhouse, I will kill you.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll get it. I might as well get into it now because we're talking about it. But the main reason Robin Williams is my favorite actor of all time, not just because he's a brilliant performer and truly one of the greats.
He can do it all.
And he can do it all. He make you laugh, make you cry, and just a wonderful actor, not just in comedies but in dramas. Mm. And Good Will Hunting. I wanted to mention.
Haven't
that
seen
too.
It yet.
What the fuck?
I know.
And there's too many. Almost any movie of his, you can be like, yeah, like Insomnia or.
Oh, Insomnia is rough.
Yeah, Birdcage or.
I've seen Birdcage.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie.
Yeah.
Friends come on all sides.
I'm gonna go take a dump.
So it was when I was in high school. We would do these dinner and movies in our art history club where the group would get together. We'd all make food and have like a potluck dinner kind of deal. And we'd watch a film, usually one that could provoke conversation. And afterwards, we'd analyze it, talk about it.
Do what we're doing right here.
Hey. And it was in those years being young and a budding artist. It was
butt artist.
Being a butt artist. Many of these dinner and movies that we did were Robin Williams films. And
obviously.
Ones I hadn't seen. So seeing... this is also the first time in my life that I was watching movies from an artistic point of view. Yeah. Like, what was the director saying? What was the actor saying in their decisions? And just breaking them down on a deep level. And it was through Robin Williams films that I realized that and saw that. And it really just projected what I wanted to do. And after we started doing those, I pursued my first film to make, which was the epic motion picture Dream. Yes, and I wanted to make it as chock full of symbolism as possible.
Yeah,
just like some of my favorite Robin Williams movies. Now, Hook is my favorite of his, not from a performance standpoint, although I think Robin Williams is subtly brilliant in this movie.
Oh, he's great.
Did you know Tom Hanks was the original choice?
I mean, Tom Hanks.
No. It was Kevin Kline was the original choice.
Tom Cruise was the original choice. I am not Peter Pan.
Kevin Kline was.
I'm not that tall.
He dropped out. It was like Tom Hanks. And he...
Who's Kevin Kline and why do I know him?
Kevin Kline is this is the wrong it's the wrong choice to say for his
I feel like I just saw
he's
him
in the Pink Panther. He's in the first Pink Panther.
That's why. Yeah. I was like, I feel like I literally just watched him the other day.
He's in that.
Okay. He's he's Dreyfus.
Yes. And he's also in Sophie's Choice. Anywho.
Haven't seen that.
He's in lots of things. So and ultimately
Kevin Conroy, original pick.
Robin
he
Williams.
Didn't like it.
And you know, Robin Williams just has the perfect blend of what this character arc needs. And this movie is my favorite of his, mainly out of nostalgia, just because I grew up with this movie. I'm so familiar with this movie, and the concept of it alone just blows me away.
It's great. It's a great
what
idea.
What if Peter Pan grew up? That's amazing. But there's something just truly magical about Hook. There's something truly innocent about Hook. And one scene alone just truly embodies what movies are to me. And that's when he remembers his happy thought and flies. The reason I say that is because as far as like a character arc goes, that is like the moment, and it celebrates that moment. Like as a character, he was trying to get to that point, and they celebrate it by having him fly and parade around Neverland with his wonderful music. And it does what movies are supposed to do, and that's like true escapism. And like just make you forget about your life for a while and just make you see something you never could before. And I think that scene celebrates it. It's also my favorite scene in any movie ever. Facts. You asked me in 10 years, it'll still be that.
You should probably evaluate your life.
That's true. It's true. I've been
saying
it.
So many great scenes.
It's a personal thing.
So many great scenes.
It's a personal
thing. Was that around the time where I turned and said, "Don't cry," and you said, "Too late"?
Because I already did. Yeah. I was already bawling my face.
Movie started. The TriStar. Like, why am I wet? Oh, yeah.
I cried that during that scene. I cried during when.
Oh, there you are, Peter.
Yeah. And that little boy, the lost boy, is like pushing the wrinkles away from Peter Banning's face, and he finally sees the young man inside.
You know, it wasn't even until this viewing of it, and I've watched this a million times, that I realized that it's Peter Banning.
Banning.
Not Panning. I always thought it was Peter Panning.
I always thought it was too until I read the credits once. I'm like, ugh.
What do you mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't like it anymore.
I am a lawyer.
We kill lawyers. But this movie, like you said, it offers kind of this escapism. And these are the type of stories that I always like, because I often find myself, I'm a rut kind of person. I'll find myself in a rut consistently. I'm like, God, it's funny because I'm like a rut kind of person who finds myself in ruts consistently, and I'm like, oh man, like what can I do to get out of this rut and do something interesting and do something fun? But then I'm also the kind of person that I'll be like walking one day and I'll look up and I'm like, I am walking on a rock that is floating in nothingness right now.
Jeez.
Like shit like that. So watching a film like this that offers like pure escapism, like I love that. I love movies that are like that. I love games that are like that. That's why I like things like, I see your poster over there, but like Interstellar. Like
Interstellar space.
You go to a different planet. You're going to different worlds. Like, and this movie takes this concept of, it's literally their normal lives. They're just normal people. But then they find their way to Neverland. Never, ever.
And that land.
Yeah.
Or as we call it, Kennywood.
Never rocks over there.
Next to McKee's Rocks.
And Neveropolis.
Jesus. Keep it at.
You got to cross a first star on the right, cross the 10th Street, then down the Veterans Bridge, whole way down to PPG Place.
Pee-pee.
Poo-poo Place.
PPG Pooper Arena.
Yeah. And you go find Antonio Brown, tell him he's a jag off, and you're good.
That's where you'll find me. Yeah. That's where I'll love
That's
you.
Where Peter Pan is. This is why he forgot. He's like, oh, too many bridges.
Got dizzy. Got lost.
Yeah. But Hook is a phenomenal film. I can't even remember. I just remember. That's funny because you made the statement, and we make the statement a lot, but you stated we just grew up with this film. And It's to that point where, like, literally that's all I can really say. I couldn't tell you when the first time I watched it was because I don't know. I just know that I've watched it almost every year consistently. Maybe I take a gap year here and there. But this is one of those movies. Like, there's movies that we watch here consistently on the pod. We're like, I haven't seen that movie in 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. This is a movie that we watched tonight that I watched last year and I watched the year before. And, you know, I've watched it pretty consistent.
Does it ever get old?
No. It's because it has, like, it is a long movie. You even said, you're like, I forget that this movie is 2 hours and 30 minutes long or close
to. It's like 220.
Yeah, but still, like, in that time frame, that's long for a movie. So every time I watch it, it's almost like I forget the pacing of it. So it's like, for instance, like, I forgot about the scene with the shadow, even though I watched it last year. Like, I just blank on certain scenes and blank where things are. So sometimes I'll watch it and I'm like, oh, I thought this was here, but it's not. Like, you almost mix up the puzzle pieces, even though I've seen it a billion times. I honestly prefer to watch it more towards, Christmas time. Not necessarily in, I don't think it's a Christmas movie. It's more of like a, it's like watching The Hateful Eight when it's snowy.
Yeah.
Like, it changes the atmosphere of the movie. So, like, I kind of like it because you have, like, the snowiness and all that stuff. But then he goes to Neverland. It's, like, getting away from the winter and everything. It's kind of nice. So watching it now was kind of different. But, no, I'd agree with you that Robin Williams, I mean, he deserves praise. Did he ever win an Oscar?
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
He was nominated two other times prior. Fisher King.
I need to see Fisher King.
I can't remember if it was for Good Morning Vietnam or
Insomnia.
No,
he's
or
a creepy motherfucker in Insomnia.
Dead Poets Society, but it's
like,
one of those.
Dead Poets Society, his role in that movie is amazing to me. And that movie, I honestly have trouble watching. Because I know what happens to a couple characters.
Oh, yeah.
But B, it's just like, so, I don't know, there's so many life lessons that you could pick up from Dead Poets Society in terms of, like, his teachings and stuff. It's just phenomenal. I love that movie.
Yeah, I was right. He was actually nominated for both of those.
Okay, cool.
So Fisher King, Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam, and he won for Good Will Hunting.
Love, poetry, romance.
I do think he should have. This is just me personally. It was the same year as The Fisher King, but he's just so brilliant in this movie because he. I mean, this is kind of the stereotype of Robin Williams being like a man child, like he's like, but he just has that magic and that innocence of a young boy, and the wonderment of childhood. He can portray that
wonderment.
Is that a real word?
I don't think so. Say it again and see if it sounds right.
Wonderment. It's a type of gum.
Wonderment gum. Get it down at the Neverland convenience store.
Yeah.
Wonderment. Wonderlust. Wonders. The natural wonders of a
the
child.
Wonderment. Wonderment.
Yeah. I don't think wonderment's a
dictionary.
You can't just slap ment on the end of words. Say it's something.
Wonder.
We're podcast minting tonight.
Wonderment is a real word.
What's it say?
A state of awed admiration or respect.
I don't like it. Where was that from? Urban Dictionary?
Yeah. Right next to pearl necklace.
Right next to anal beads. What?
So, speaking of anal beads. Yeah, but not only can he portray that, but the other side of Peter Banning. The cold
douche canoe.
The cold douche canoe. The the just the straight business, yeah. The fucking business.
He is the business.
He is the business.
He does not care.
He chooses work over his family, and it's suffering. His family is broken.
It's almost to an annoying degree too. It's like, why are you so blind to this? Yeah. Like, it's
yes, his work is important. Yes. He's working on, as a character, he's working on a $5 billion deal, and he chooses to focus on that as opposed to his daughter's play or
because
his son's baseball game.
Owls can't fornicate somewhere else.
Yeah. Why did someone just shoot me in the head?
Bang! Bang!
Everybody just shut up! That still makes me go like, ugh.
Yeah, like, that's why I said, like, I was like, if I did this to my future kids, I feel like I would not get talked to for a while.
Yeah. Jesus. But yeah, it's that intense scene. That's what I mean. Like that scene alone just shows like the just the
disconnect from
thank
his
you
family and
from
him.
His family and his kids especially. And that's the journey of this movie, is to find that that child, that inner child, so he can be with his family, so he can learn what it means to be happy again.
And it's not to say, like, you could look at this in a couple ways, but, like, the film is not saying, like, you need to be a kid to enjoy life
no.
or something like that. It's saying, like, you need to
find the balance.
Yeah, there's a balance to it. You know, you don't need to grow up. The term that I've heard people say before is, like, oh, that's so childish. But, you know, if you're an adult 90% of the time, you could be a kid 10% of the time. You can dick around. I mean, I spend most of my nights playing video games, and then during the day I work. Like, you know, I have my adult time, and then I wind down with, you know, playing games or watching movies, TV shows, and different things like that. It's important to have that kind of balance, yeah, with your inner child, but also your, you know, when it's time to grow up, and not lose that. Now, neither of us have kids that we know of. but
were you looking at me when you said that?
Yeah. Neither of us have kids, so we can't really speak to like the fatherhood aspect of this
right.
movie. But I'm sure it's there. I'm sure you ask any dad
smart
or
enough.
Yeah.
We can figure it out.
I know. I've heard. I listened to several podcasts, and I know a lot of them will always say like the father son things always get them. Like if there's a father son or a father daughter moment in a movie, it always messes with them. I'm sure that element's there as well, but we really can't speak to that too much,
no.
I would say, in terms of from personal experience. But that's definitely an aspect as well. Him especially with him and Jack, with Peter and,
right.
and Jack, they do a good job setting up like that relationship. And I like, the Cats in the Cradle speech that, Peter's wife gives to him about how, you know, they only have a couple years where the kid is chasing after them. And then it'll get to the point where the kid really doesn't want anything to do with them, which
you'll,
is a legitimate.
Chasing after them for
yeah,
a bit of
it's
attention.
A legitimate thing. You know, it's the Cats in the Cradle. It's, you know, that's that song. Yeah.
The Silver Spoon in that.
Yeah. Cats.
Oh boy, Blue and the Man, the Man.
Cradle, Silver Spoon, Steelers.
Ghost Dealers.
Ghost Dealers.
Yeah, and but that's what I love about this film too is that journey. The journey to save his children is to find his inner child. And once doing that, then he has the inner ability to fight for what he needs, and that's for his children. I love the concept of this movie, as I stated, with this being, what if Peter Pan grew up? What if the boy who never grows up, who flies and has adventures and fights pirates and does all these wonderful things that as a kid you read about or see the old Disney cartoon movie and are just in awe of, or it's just part of your life, that famous story of Peter Pan fighting Captain Hook with the aid of his lost boys and all kinds of wonderful stories and tales. What if that character grew up and forgot everything and became this like miserable businessman, this lawyer, and who not hates children, but is just so distant?
He almost doesn't even know he's miserable, though. That's
yeah.
the thing. Yeah.
What if Captain Hook exacted his revenge and stole Peter Pan's children?
And it's not even like it's a revenge. It's almost like Captain Hook just got really fucking bored.
And
Like, he's just upset. Like, because that's the thing I've always liked about the Captain Hook Peter Pan relationship is it's almost like it's mutual respect, but they like are willing to kill each other at the same time, which you don't get from a lot of villains in terms of like it's almost lighthearted. Like, they hate each other, but they're also like they need. It's like the Joker Batman in a sense.
No, it is.
And I like that a lot.
You read my mind.
My great and worthy opponent.
Yeah, they need each other. Yeah. They're yin and yang.
Yeah.
What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. You complete me. Mm. Yes.
Everything burns. It's not about the children. It's about sending
a message. That's exactly it.
So Hook is the Joker. We got it covered.
So in their first confrontation, Peter Banning as an old fat businessman or lawyer.
He's not even that fat.
Well, you know. Who drinks too much and runs and hides from his wife and children. That confrontation between that Peter Banning and Hook, and he is just like so insulted and offended and just bewildered. Like, who is this codfish? I don't know who this is.
He did pull out the codfish line.
This is not who I wanted to fight.
He's not my great and worthy opponent.
And there's a deleted scene when Peter has to climb the mast and reach out for his children, and then he can save them, but he can't because he's too afraid of heights, and he gives up. Well, he's hanging up there. There's a deleted scene where Captain Hook gets hoisted up there on a rope, and he like kind of has a conversation. I don't remember the lines word for word.
You're embarrassing me.
Kind of. He says something like, "I didn't want to fight you. I wanted to fight. I don't want to destroy you. I want to destroy innocence, and you are not that anymore." So he wanted to fight the old Peter Pan, who was this joyful boy who would fly around and insult him and things like that and mock him and cut the one who cut off his hand. He wanted to revenge on that, and he wanted to destroy that innocence. But that, you know, he even says, he's like, but you've already done that yourself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of – without that scene, it's fine because the characters, through the rest of their dialogue and actions, they portray that same message anyway. So I could see why they deleted it.
Yeah. Delete! I've always found their relationship interesting. And it's funny, too, because, like, in a sense, Peter Pan growing up, like, he's kind of – if you watch, like, the old Disney Peter Pan, which I did recently for the first time in a long time, he's kind of a dick. Peter's kind of a dick. And
you know what? So are a lot of kids.
So are a lot of kids. Yeah, kids are. Yeah, but in terms of like this movie, like Peter Pan the original, he's kind of a dick, and it's like almost like if he were to grow up, you could see that being the case. Like he could kind of be a dick.
He's got to find the balance.
Yeah, you got to find the balance between not being a dick and being a dick. You've said twice now that you really like this formula, this film, you know, what happens if
the
you
concept,
and they,
yeah.
They kind of just tried to do that with Christopher Robin in a sense.
Right.
And it wasn't really well received, even though I still want to watch it.
I want to see
Even though I wasn't like a Winnie the Pooh fan growing up. But I really wasn't even a Peter Pan fan growing up.
You are now.
I am now. I'm curious as to if maybe, you know, 20 years from now, that'll be well-respected film like this is. I'm curious as to why they haven't done more films like this and, like, this method of... Instead, they're like, let's do a live-action reboot. I'm like, why not just take these films and expand on them? Not to give too much credit away, but in listening to Fat Man Beyond, Kevin Smith's podcast recently, they mentioned that, how Mark Bernardin mentioned how he would prefer that these live-action remakes are more of expansions, like Maleficent, instead of them being just straight remakes. Why don't they do this more often? Like, Hook is a great continuation of this tale that really probably no one asked for.
No.
You know? But it works. And you're like, oh, I wonder what Peter Pan did after Peter Pan. Well, watch Hook. There's no universe really to, you know, guide it, but
we're gonna have the PCU.
Yeah, the PPCU. Peter Pan Cinematic Universe.
All right, I'm down.
PPCU. why don't they do this more often? What would you think about that? Like, why don't we see more of that.
Because as opposed to just the straight reboots. Like
straight remakes and reboots.
Yeah. I honestly think it would only be like, let's say you have the option. Like, hey, we got this property. Should we remake it or should we just make a sequel or like an expansion?
Yeah.
They go with the remake because it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier money.
And yeah, well, the it's thing more is, bankable. It's less. Yeah, I was going to say it's less likely to fail. Because it's, you know, experiments sometimes don't work. Christopher Robin didn't really work.
Lion King, for example, the remake. Not that that was an easy film to make.
No.
I'm sure it was extremely...
Yeah. I'm sure it cost a lot of money.
Daunting, you know? But the concept was there.
Yeah.
The writing was there. They didn't have to create...
Hamlet.
They didn't have to create something from scratch.
I want to see what happened after. Oh, yeah, there was a Lion King 2. Yeah. But then after that, oh, no, there was a Lion King 3.
No, there wasn't.
What happened?
There was Lion King 1.5.
Yeah, well, I was about to say what happened with Pumbaa and Simone.
Simone. Raven.
Yeah, Raven, Simone.
Timon.
Fuck. It's late. I have creme brulee coffee spilled on my shirt. For some reason, smells like puke.
Bath, puke, whatever.
There's a Spaceball reference. But, yeah, it's kind of like I wish they would do that more often. Let me ask you this one, follow-up question. What's a property, like a old cartoon movie or something that you would like to see something like this happen? Or it's like in the
future. Like an expansion one.
Yeah, expansion into the future.
Little Rascals.
They're just deep. All grown up.
And some pro wrestlers.
Some are drunk and beating their kids. And
Jesus.
took a dark turn.
I'll give you a real reason to be called Spanky.
Yeah. Alfalfa's kid doesn't have the point to his hair. And that's like a constant source of contention.
You want to hear a source of contention and speaking of violence and crime. Here's a real crime.
A dark turn.
Here's a real crime. This film was nominated for 5 Oscars.
Shit,
5 special
really?
Awards. Yeah. But 2 of which did not include John Williams for score. Did
so
not
good.
Get nominated. And that is unbelievable.
What won
to me.
That year? Do you know?
I don't know what won that year. But I do know who won for this other category. Dustin Hoffman did not get nominated for an Oscar.
Who won?
That year, but that would be
Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man.
Nah, that year it would have been Anthony Hopkins for Silence of the Lambs.
He's pretty damn good.
Nominated.
He needs a nomination for that because you watch it. It's almost like this is one of those rules where I didn't realize it was Dustin Hoffman until like years later, and I had seen. I've
disappears.
Seen, you know, The Graduate. I've seen Meet the Fockers that he's in.
Kramer versus Kramer.
I've never seen Kramer versus
Kramer.
Oh,
he's great.
I haven't seen many Dustin Hoffman. Little Big Man, which I want to see again very, very badly. We should do that sometime on here.
Rain Man.
I've seen some of Rain Man. But
Dick Tracy.
You know, you watch him in The Graduate, and then you watch him in this. Two different things.
Yeah,
you know, there's years apart there.
Years apart, a lot of makeup, things like that.
It's even like the accent,
the performance.
Yeah,
he disappears.
Ah. His laughing.
Yeah,
it's just so good.
He's brilliant. And just his little nuances are incredible. That scene with him and Smee, and he goes to shoot himself. He's like, "Don't try to stop me this time, Smee. Don't you dare try to stop me this time, Smee. Try to stop me. Get up off your ass. This is not a joke. I'm committing suicide.
Don't ever try to scare me like that again."
What are you, some kind of sadist?
That's good.
No, he's brilliant. He didn't get nominated. Now, whether you see him as the lead of this film or not, he is the title character and the top billing. Even so, if you went, he could have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Same category, didn't get nominated.
Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor?
Best Actor.
Okay.
Best Supporting, I believe, that year was Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
He's good in that, too.
I don't care. Dustin Hoffman should have been nominated.
Tommy Lee Jones is very good in that movie, but it's also, like, what spawned his, like, t- Tommy Lee Jones is the same in every movie, it's because Fugitive is where it spawned.
You know,
like,
who else?
Ah, shit, he's good. And then he's just the same from there on.
You know who else got nominated that year who maybe should have won for Best Supporting Actor? It was Leo DeCap for What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
He's really good in that as well.
That was 93.
I was going to say, 91? He's really good in that.
I have to look up these. What year is it?
It's 2019.
Oh, that's a Robin Williams movie. I didn't mention Jumanji. But no, let's talk about the music of this movie a little bit.
Oh, no, yeah. The theme to this film, it's very whimsical.
John Williams at his best.
Yeah, John Williams at his best. And the thing about John Williams is so funny is, like, you know it's a John Williams movie by the sounds and by just the beat and all those different aspects that John Williams likes to use. I'm not an instruments person, but I always notice he uses a lot of, I would say, like, brass instruments and stuff and lots of high pitch, like flutes and stuff, mm-hmm. especially for this one. So, at least that's what it sounds for me. But I always thought this music's very whimsical and adventurous, and it pulls you, like you said, it pulls you into this world, that they're trying to create. So I've always really enjoyed the themes to this movie. The one thing I noticed, I don't know if there's any nuances to it or not, but in watching, like, the old OG Peter Pan, obviously sound quality is not the best back then in terms of the music they have. Did they include any, like, the old music that you've ever noticed?
No, because that's a Disney property.
I guess
Peter
yeah.
Pan in general is not. I think Peter Pan is.
It's not. It's a book.
Is royalty free at this point? I'm not too sure if there's rights owned by anybody.
I know this is just from like recent experience when playing. Like I've played two Kingdom Hearts games within the last year, and every time I play those, like the Kingdom Hearts games, at the beginning it pops up and it says like this is the property of this, mm-hmm. and it's same with like Tarzan.
Right.
Like it says. So yeah.
This is not
the music would be, but you're saying the music would be Disney though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From the original.
In the original that's a Disney project, and yeah, this movie wasn't made by Disney, so they didn't have access to any of that. Gotcha. That's like a couple years ago they made Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah.
None of the like old school MGM music.
No Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
No. No music cues, anything like that. Nothing like that.
Gotcha.
Because it's not. It wasn't, like, the same company making it.
Yeah,
because
I was thinking, like, it would have been cool if, like, when John Williams, or if John Williams is doing the music and Peter's getting dragged in the carpet to Netherlands.
To Netherlands.
To Neverland. If it started playing, like, the, you can fly, you can fly, you can fly. Like, it'd be something.
Even in the...
Or even if Nana would fly a little bit.
Oh,
Nana!
Poor Nana!
I love that we both rewatched Peter Pan, and that was like the one thing that we took away. We were like, it's pretty good. Poor Nana.
It would like okay in the finale when that alligator, that crocagator, goes to eat,
yeah, I was gonna say it's a croc.
Goes to eat Hook, yeah. And that music that plays really intense, really awesome, like
what's happening?
That what if it was like a redone version of the crocodile theme, like
yeah, it was like almost like I felt like missed opportunity, and nowadays it'd probably be easier because they'd probably be able to go to Disney and be like, fuck, we have all the money here. Actually, but nowadays Disney would probably own all the studios.
I'm pretty sure they do own TriStar.
Yeah,
I think
so. Probably.
Probably.
So it wouldn't matter. Yeah, Disney owns everything. Which I can't tell if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, they put out quality stuff, so yeah. I think it's good.
But
the music, this is one of my favorite John Williams scores for sure. You said it best, the whimsy and the adventure that is just injected into the score, but it adds to this movie so much. You know, the Peter Pan theme, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you don't hear that ever in the movie until that food fight scene, mm-hmm. and he cuts that coconut and he like looks at the sword. You hear it subtly. It's in there. It's awakening. Mm-hmm. It's woke.
It's like when Anakin says, "I hate them," and it goes.
Duh,
duh, duh, duh, duh, duh.
To compare two great John Williams scores.
Yeah. To compare Attack of the Clones to Hook, yeah. I'm gonna do it.
Definitely one of my favorites of his. Funny, just music story, I guess. I was, this is many years ago, I found a website called Film.
What?
Yeah, called Pornhub. Now, it's called, like, I can't remember it now, like Film Chart. And what you would do is it would have you pit movies against each other. It would just show up the posters, like this movie and this movie, and it would be random. It would be like Batman Returns or Transformers, and you'd pick which one you like more. And ultimately, it would create a list for you of your favorite films. And then you'd have those films in your top 10 against each other, and it would give a ranking for you.
Whoa.
I was making my top 10. I got to the point I was making my top 5. And my top 5 still stands true to this day. It goes Castle in the Sky, Interstellar Space, and then for my third spot, I was in between, on this Film Chart thing, it was Hook and E.T. And I was at work, and at the time I was a dishwasher. And I was working, and I was like, I was stuck on these. It was a slow time at work. I spent an hour and a half before I clicked on one. I couldn't decide, and I took it very seriously. I was like, E.T. or Hook, and I was like weighing out the options, weighing out the memories. I got real personal and deep with it, and after an hour and a half of not being able to decide, I went to click on E.T., but as I touched, I'm not making this up, as I touched the mouse, out of nowhere, like it like whispered in my ear, I like went to click on E.T., and it went, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I was like, nah, I gotta go Hook.
And you clicked it, and you're like, what have I done?
I was like, I clicked it. I was like, oh, there you are, Peter.
And then someone knocks on the door, and you turn around. And they're like, have you been crying?
Yes.
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 I was deciding between Hook and E.T., and they're like, oh, God, are you okay?
And they looked at me, and they're like, did you make the right choice? I went, ah, ah, ah!
What did it cost? Everything.
Shit. So yeah, that's another personal Hook story, I guess.
Hook, there's Hook. I'll tell you what, I like the way Captain Hook goes way old Yeller and Quint. More so Quint.
Certainly.
But
who had it rougher?
I don't. That's the thing.
Hook got eaten whole. Swallowed
him
whole.
He got swallowed whole by a dead crocodile.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, but he literally like stabbed his hook into the belly. So what's stopping him from like just ripping his way out? Like I was like thinking that they're like Hook's gone. I'm like he's still in there.
He's in there somewhere.
I'm like we could do a sequel with Jack Pan coming back.
Jack Pan. That just sounds bad.
Jack Pan. That's what Jack the movie's Reacher. Gonna be called. The next movie is just called Pan. Oh wait, they did that and it sucked.
Pan. That was a miniseries. Peter Pan. They made a Peter Pan.
No, they made the one with. Or was it called Neverland? The one with Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. That was
Pan.
What was that called? Was it Pan?
It was just called Pan.
Hmm.
And he played Blackbeard.
Yeah.
And then, like, Hook was like...
Garrett Hedlund.
He was like Peter Pan's friend. And mm-hmm. then it was going to like show how... Which I kind of like that idea, too. Like, that's another thing where, like, apparently that movie sucks.
Yeah.
But if it would have, like, played out, well, they also got, like, Tiger Lily played by Rooney Mara, like... Come on now, think people. But that would work in my head.
Not in the PPCU.
Yeah, not in the PPCU. It's not because it sucked. We're taking it out of the PPCU. But yeah, no, that's like an idea. Like I would like to see like what were they doing before Wendy and what led to this disconnect. And
yeah,
I like that idea.
I apologize because that is called Pan.
Yeah.
But there was a mini series back in 2011 or 12. It was on Sci-Fi. It was a 2-part mini series, made for TV, little movie thing, and it was called Pan, and it was that. It was a prequel as well. And who played? Oh, I can never remember his name.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, it's who played Hook. He's the evil brother in Little Nicky.
Oh, God.
Cassius. And he's also in the Harry Potter movies. He's the kicker in The Replacements. And he was the...
Get the blue piss out of it.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
He played Hook. And Bob Hoskins reprised his role as Smee.
That's good.
That's good shit.
Yeah. That's why we're going to have John Leguizamo. Leguizamo?
Fuck, that's good. Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, playing Shmee.
That's not bad.
I tell you what, Captain Hook, I just trust fungus. That's what I do.
He trusts fungus, but he looked like the clown in Spawn.
Yeah. Yeah. He's yeah. funny.
forgive me.
What have I done?
We gotta change the subject quick. Get back to the whimsy.
We gotta get off of John Leguizamo and Spawn.
Yeah. But speaking of Bob Hoskins, he's great in this movie.
Phenomenal. Yeah, all the acting is really top notch in this. You know, it's Spielberg. You mentioned that Spielberg said that, you know, it was hard with the kid actors. Like, you know, I was in musicals. You were in musicals. You've worked on musicals. Kid actors, even like,
they are the worst.
They're it's hard. Yeah, because they're chock full of energy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't know how to take the best directions, and you have to be able to work with kids at the same time. So with that being said, like, I can only imagine, because there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of shit to choreograph.
Not just the kids, though, gave him a hard time. Julia Roberts, she got the nickname Tinker Hell because she was such a pain in the ass to deal with.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She was kind of I think she kind of has a reputation of being a, I don't know if diva is the right word, but, you know, just.
Hard to work with.
Hard to work with actress.
Cut you off right there.
She, just as an example, she was going through a separation with her then husband, Kiefer Sutherland, and right in the middle of, like, production, she fled the country and moved to Ireland and was going to stay there. And Spielberg, like, they're weeks into production at this point filming, and he's, like, he basically forced her to come back. Like, I will get rid of, like, I will cut you from this movie.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, like that's
don't stress. Antonio Brown me here.
At the time, this film even had one of the most complicated stunts to, like, put to film, just because it was a lot of manpower. Is that one scene after after Peter Pan gets caught in the net and he says "Bangarang,"
yeah,
and all the kids swing in. It was like over 92 stuntmen were needed to complete that shot, and it was just getting it right was very difficult. Because everything was, well, not everything, but most of this movie's practical effects. The sets were practical. They built all those on sound stages. We mentioned Wizard of Oz earlier for one reason or another. This was the same studio they filmed, like, the Wizard of Oz. Like, the Emerald City was, like, where they had Captain Hook's ship, for example. A lot of beautiful, like, set design work went into this movie. And that's another thing I appreciate about this film is the details. The art direction was wonderful. The makeup was great. Everything from Captain Hook's eyebrows.
Yeah, what the fuck and is his up with that?
Magnificent mustache to Maggie Smith's wonderful makeup. In 1991, she still doesn't look that old today.
She still looks the same.
She looks the same, but they put a lot of makeup on her back then to look like a 92-year...
Maggie Smith now.
To look like a 92-year-old Wendy. That's another aspect of this film I like. Yeah, Peter Pan grows up and this and that, but, like, Wendy, who's the other lead of the story of Peter Pan, she grows up and has a family of her own, which kind of catapults the rest of the story. I truly love this movie. It's very special to me. It's very important, and it has just that special place in my heart that does what this movie... the journey of this movie is, which is to find that innocence and to find that happy thought. And sometimes this movie is my happy thought.
Is it always your happy thought?
And when he flies and comes out of that tree and he's in the suit, he flies into the sun and that music's playing, like, oh, nothing. Yeah. I just get exhilarated. Like when he falls, he's like, I got it. I lost it. Ah, just hold that happy thought, Peter. And he, like, sticks his feet out and goes, like, whoosh.
Yeah.
Like, I always go, like, whoa. Like, the wind blew me back. Yeah. And he looks right at you. He looks in the camera, but he looks at you. And he's like, I got it. And he flies away.
And you're just like, you got it.
Actually, honestly, this is going to sound a little sappy. I'll try not to cry because I got a little lump in my throat. Every time I see that scene, I see Robin Williams, and I'm like, I miss you.
I mean, it's just...
That was a sad, very sad day. Like I said earlier, Robin Williams is more or less one of the biggest reasons I went on to pursue filmmaking in school and making my own movies and things is through his art. On that day in 2014, I was distraught, and I locked myself in my room, and I was so sad that someone who brought me so much joy was so sad.
Yeah, and no one knew it.
And no one knew it.
As far as we know.
Yeah. And just someone who not only brought me so much joy, but brought the world so much joy with his art, with his just his being, who he was. Yeah, and the day we lost him, I celebrate it because out of memory of him, and I choose to watch my favorite film of his every year, and that is Hook. So that's also a reason why it's in my top five. It's my number three. It's because of Robin Williams and what he meant to me. Not just what this movie meant to me, but what he meant to me as well. And there's also a reason why, as far as like the Brothers Movie Factory, we haven't done one of his films yet, because I wanted this Hook to be the first, and I wanted to wait for around his death anniversary to celebrate him. Yeah, but in the future, I could see us doing Dead Poets Society or Jungle Book, Jumanji.
Yeah!
any one of them would be great choices. Popeye, damn it.
Popeye.
Hey, that'd be great.
Let's cast olive oil.
Let's cast Daniel Day-Lewis as Popeye, because he'd grow those forearms out naturally.
Your forearms, those are actually two giant tumors.
So, yeah, any other memories you got of old Hooky Baby?
I don't really have one. It's interesting, though, because you haven't had, I don't think you've had an experience like this to this nature, at least not recently, but... old fiance, been dating her for 7 years. 7 years, I think. I think we just hit that. We went to high school together and college and everything. And so also she has a younger sister who's 14. So I've been around her since she was 7. So a lot of the movies that she's seen growing up, I've kind of had an influence on. In terms of her watching, you know, different films, like I've introduced her to Godzilla and different things like that, like random bullshit. But I remember specifically a couple years back, like this, it was right after Robin Williams passed away. Her mom wanted to watch a movie, and I was over at their house, and I was like, I'm going to run into town, I'm going to grab some movies. And I grabbed all these movies, and she wanted to watch Hook because she liked Peter Pan. She was on a bit of a Disney kick. So I actually got to, like, witness someone watch this movie for the first time. A younger person watched this movie for the first time, and they loved it. To the point where I think I ended up not gifting them the copy, but they hung on to the copy for a while because she kept rewatching it. So that's a memory that I have with the film in terms of, you know, recent memory. Like I said, this movie, I've watched it so many times throughout the years that I honestly can't tell you how many times I've watched it and or when, but that's a memory that I can think on to that effect.
And we can't go without mentioning The Lost Boys, just some of them, Pockets, Ace, Don't Ask, the legendary Thud Butt. I love Thud's scene with Peter Pan, or Peter at the time, on the bridge where they talk about happy thoughts and Toodles marbles and he lost them good, stuff like that. And of course the leader of the Lost Boys, Rufio. I think I've always wanted to dress in a stripped leather, red tights, and have a red skunk stripe mohawk. Rufio is like a fan favorite for sure. And yeah.
But with that being said, we've been going over this film for ages. I feel like we could go forever. But we got to get to the factory. So, on this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would be like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just modern booking. So, for today's film, doing Hook 1991, who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would be Hook, Pan, Shmi, and Tink?
This is dangerous.
Yeah, it's this very is a hard difficult. One for you.
This might be the hardest one. Mm-hmm. So I did what I could. I'm gonna have you say your director first.
Okay. So the director I went with has not only experience with not Peter Pan specifically, but Peter Pan-esque story, mm-hmm. as well as a movie that's very similar to Hook, and that's Mark Forster. And Mark Forster is who directed
Finding
Neverland, but also directed Christopher Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I was like, oh, Finding Neverland, that's the story of, you know, it's the real story behind how did Peter Pan and mm-hmm. these stories come up. But also, when I saw, I was like, oh, he directed Christopher Robin. Like,
there
Christopher,
it is.
We literally just got done saying, like, Christopher Robin is basically Hook. Like, it's, but with, you know, these different characters. So yeah, Mark Forster. I've never actually watched Finding Neverland, but I have watched a decent amount of Christopher Robin, actually.
Yeah, you've seen Quantum of Solace.
Seen Quantum of Solace.
He directed that too.
But yeah, no, so Mark Forster.
That's good. That's a good. That's a damn good choice.
Good choice.
Okay. So this is impossible for me to do. Can't. It's one of my favorite Spielberg films.
You're like
it's
George
one of my favorite,
Lucas.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. So for me to redo any of this is impossible. So I found a director who could match Spielberg's whimsy.
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Like, so we need explosions.
My idea could turn the whole thing on its head, and I'll tell you how.
Real quick. Can you imagine Michael Bay doing it? And like when they put on the hook and there's like the sparks, I'm like, that's like a Rocky IV. It just explodes. Like, or when Hook and Peter Pan finally hit swords twice, it's like there's like the little fireworks, like pow, pow, it just blows up. Like,
yeah, it's explosion. Puts the hook in. It's like, that's the old spark.
How they kill Hook. They just shove the hook into his chest.
Yeah. There's who can match his whimsy. It's going to turn everything on its head here. And you'll understand why. And mine's also a combo. Like, if you pick my director, you got to pick the composer, too. Because who's going to be able to match John Williams? Hayao Miyazaki, Joe Hisaishi. Make it an anime.
What's crazy is I honestly thought of that, and I thought you would just shit on it. I did. I was like, I was thinking, and honestly, it hit me. I was like, looked over. I was like, oh, man, what if they did maybe not even an anime, like a live-action film? Like, what would it look like if an anime director, an animated director, tried it? Because I almost went with, like, a John Lannister. Who's the guy that
Pete
did?
Pete Docter.
Nah, not him.
Lee Unrich. Brad Bird.
Brad Bird. I honestly thought that as well. Which is funny. Like, I thought of Hayao Miyazaki.
You thought of him directing a live-action film or making it into an anime?
I thought about him directing and giving a shot at a live-action. Has he ever done
Give him a chance! No, he's never done that.
I was wondering if it would be interesting. But, I mean, at the same time, if you do that, like, are we making a Asian Peter Pan?
No, it'd be like, I saw it as, like, let's say he made it a Studio Ghibli film of Hook, and then our actors that we pick, they're just voicing them in English.
I'd be for that.
Dub. Dub, not sub, Hook.
Chub, not chub.
That's just my idea. Hayao Miyazaki, episode of favorites. My favorite director. Favorite storyteller, Hayao Miyazaki. And one of my favorite composers, Joe Hisaishi, doing the music.
What's funny is I honestly didn't have a composer in mind. I was hoping that you would spark.
You'd hoping I would just
I was
win.
Hoping you would win or just have like a really good idea, and you do. Joe Hisaishi is a very good idea. I mean, I would love to hear his score on it because I've heard him
be
do
whimsical.
Everything. Yeah, it'd be whimsical as fuck. I do have to flip you for the director. Are you fine with that being said? Are you fine with Joe Hisaishi being the composer?
It's the only one who could do it.
Mark Forster were to win the flip.
He's the only one who could do
okay.
it.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, maybe Joe Hisaishi, famous for a lot of the Studio Ghibli films, the Japanese animated films. Phenomenal. If you've never heard Joe Hisaishi's music, go look it up. But What we'll do here is heads, Mark Forster, tails, Hayao Miyazaki for directing. Fuck.
He dropped the coin.
Doubloons. Flip it again.
Flip it. All right.
Roll it again.
Tails, Hayao Miyazaki.
Miyazaki-san.
So now if you're saying you want it to be animated, if it's animated, are we going with voice actors then?
No, it can be the actors you had in mind, because I have real actors too. Yeah.
All right, then why don't we start with Tinkerbell?
Okay.
What you got for Tinkerbell?
I went with, so I was looking at this movie, Julia Roberts, she's not known for playing a role like Tinkerbell. Mm-hmm. So I went with someone who's an Oscar-winning actress, has dabbled in all genre of film, anything from drama to superhero films to borderline horror movies, and I went with Natalie Portman, Nat Dog, the Black Swan herself, a.k.a. Tinkerbell.
Queen Amidala herself. Yeah. Thank you.
I went with a real queen here.
For mine...
Thor herself.
Yeah, Thor. Mine, I wanted an actress... I tried to keep to a theme of actually all like British and UK actors and actresses, and I was thinking of someone who could definitely pull off the role, but also I don't know if she's ever had something to this extent in terms of like Tinks. I don't know, this the character in this, like, played by Julia Roberts, is interesting because like she's like a semi love interest, like she has layers in a sense.
She's got the hots for him.
Yeah, but she's like. She's sad, she's happy, she's, you know, fighting people, she's giving advice and energetic and all that stuff. So I went with...
Rebel Wilson.
Yes. Someone that I think could pull off this role, because I think they've kind of done it in a sense. They've been a know-it-all before, but also been the one helping them. That's Emma Watson.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Emma Watson. I was thinking like Hermione.
A know-it-all, yeah.
Yeah, like Hermione asked in terms of like she's helping them do stuff and like, you know, and being a badass at the same time. So Emma Watson, I know. Think about her cutting her hair a little short, like pixie hair. Yeah.
Like in, Perks.
Yeah. Yep. Just like that. Yeah. As our Tink-a-Dink.
I like that. Why don't you go ahead and win one?
You're giving it to me?
Why don't you win one for once?
Emma Watson. I don't know. My cast's pretty goddamn good, I think. Shmi's me.
I was having a hard time with Mr. Shmi.
Mine's kind of stupid. I wanted, you might like it.
I wanted someone. I also went someone English.
Yeah, I looked up Cockney actors. It's not a lot.
I was like going through a whole bunch of names and a bunch of potential choices, and the one I thought would be interesting as like the bumbling Shmi, and I kind of. Maybe not reference this Shmi as much, but maybe like the Disney version.
More high pitch.
Yes,
Captain.
I went with Nick Frost. Did you?
That's who I had too.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's who I had as well, Nick Frost. You ain't seen Bad Boys 2. That's how I was going to start.
Yeah. Good morning, Neverland.
Yeah. Nick Frost.
Yeah. Interesting. So it's settled.
We could do Taika Waititi. Just make Shmi.
I'm Shmi. This is Korg.
Yeah. This is Captain Korg. And
that'd be
we're
going
to get on a spaceship, fly off to Neverland.
You know, Bob Hoskins, real quick, he passed away in 2014 as well.
Sadly.
Yeah. He was Mario in Super Mario, and he bought.
Fuck yeah, he was.
he bought all the boys on set beers. During a difficult shoot, he did the same damn thing for Hook. He bought over 300 beers for the crew.
He's a man.
During a shot. Like, who do you know? What actors have you heard that done shit like
well,
that?
Well, we know. It was all Natty Light.
Yeah. Nick Frost would be buying Guinness.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Nick Frost, for those of you might not know, Hot Fuzz. He's the sidekick in Hot Fuzz. He's in World's End. What's that trilogy called?
The Cornetto Trilogy.
Cornetto Trilogy. Gensin the Shaun of the Dead. He's in most recently Fighting with My Family, right?
Yeah,
he's
great. He's really good in that
movie. Uh-huh. So yeah, Nick Frost as Shmi, that worked out well. Who do you want to do, Hook or Pan? Do you want to do Pan because Hook is the title character, Or do you want to do hook and then pan, or say them at the same time?
Might as well just do them both at the same time. They're yin and yang.
All right. You want to go?
Yeah. For my Pan, my Peter Pan, my Peter Banning, who could portray both, I went with a very accomplished actor, one who's very diverse and can be anything you need him to be, whether that's a farmer or a Johnny Cash
or Joaquin.
Or a Joker.
Or a hair reminder of what could have been.
Yeah. Well, you know that scene at the beginning when they're looking like at the scar? It's like, it's the scar from the Tiger Lily incident. Be like, I know that hair lip anywhere. gave you that during the Tiger Lily incident.
But when they're doing like, oh, there you are, Peter, it'll just be the Joker meme. Like, yeah. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, that'd be good. yeah, Joaquin Phoenix as my Peter Banning. He can be the dramatic side. He has that comedic flair.
He have everything I've ever seen him in, he's like not dry, but like almost slow. Like his pacing is slow. Like, can he be super energetic? I've never seen him in anything where he's like energetic.
Oh yeah. You just need to check out more of his stuff.
I've seen a decent amount of his stuff.
Not enough.
What is he energetic in?
Gladiator.
He's not energetic in that. He's slow as fuck in that.
You haven't seen Gladiator.
He gets intense. I don't. He's not like giddy. Giddy like a schoolboy.
Yeah. Joker.
Yeah. I guess we gotta see Joker.
Inherent Vice.
Her.
Damn it. Johnny, walk
the line where he's drunk half the movie.
Yeah.
All right, Hook. Who you got for Hook?
I went with the villainous and delicious Ralph Fiennes.
Okay, I like that. Because that's going to pair interestingly with mine. Mm.
Ralph Fiennes, Voldemort herself, Hades, for God's sakes. Oh, shit, what is his name in Grand Budapest Hotel? Fuck.
Not Lobby Boy.
How do you say it? Corsage? Concierge. Whatever his name is. Wonderful actor. Delicious villain.
Q.
M, yes. And, yeah, that's who I went with for my Hook. I wanted to go Jason Isaacs, but he's already played Hook before. You dirty bitch. That's cheating.
No, to me. So, yes, for my Hook, I did go with Jason Isaacs.
Did
yes,
you remember?
Yes, I did, indeed. But he did a good job.
Yeah, that's why I'd want to play my Hook.
And I was like, he's an evil bastard, but he's pretty good at being, like, nice, too.
He's also deliciously evil.
Yeah, he's born to be a bad guy. I almost went with Sean Bean, but I was like, oh, yeah, he does die in this. but he would die too early. He'd be like, for Neverland, James!
Everybody's like, I'm James.
But, yeah, Jason Isaacs. Then for my Pan, Pan the Man, I wanted someone who can play serious. I've seen them play serious. I've also seen them handle their way around a sword. But also play a role similar to this. And that is Ewan McGregor.
Ewan
McGregor. Ewan. Think about, like, they start sword fighting and Battle of Heroes starts playing. He knows how to fight with the sword. And I want to point this out. If you notice, like, the choreographed shots of them having their sword fight, Robin Williams learned that choreography.
Yes.
You could tell Dustin Hoffman probably didn't learn a lot of it because it's a lot of always to his back.
That or, like, there's the hook right by his face. Yeah, it's not
So you could tell it's like a stunt.
And Robin Williams learned the fencing and the sword fighting.
Yeah.
And it shows. That's
and
really
so
good stuff.
Ewan McGregor, he's done this choreography before. He knows it pretty well. So I'm thinking, like, a technical aspect, too.
Damn it. Joaquin Phoenix, he fought in Gladiator. And he swung a real mean bat in Signs.
He did swing a mean bat. Run home, Jack. He'd teach his son how to play baseball.
No, Smee, they got it backwards. Swing away, Merrill. Swing away, Merrill.
Ewan McGregor, and then Jason Isaacs as my Hook.
I like 50%.
50%? So what we'll do is we'll take to the coin, my pairing of Jason Isaacs and Ewan McGregor will be heads.
Okay.
your pairing of Ralph Fiennes as Hook.
Rafe Fiennes,
as Hook, and Joaquin Phoenix as Pan will be Tails. Heads.
You win.
Jason Isaacs.
You win some.
You know what's funny is you want. You're like, I'll give you one. And all of my picks were the same. Well, we had Nick Frost the same, but yeah. So, and it will go. So, Hook remake, 1991. Hayao Miyazaki would be directing, which would be very interesting. Joe Hisashi as the composer. We got Tinkerbell, played by Emma Watson. Shmi, played by Nick Frost. Pan, played by Ewan McGregor. And our Hook, played by Jason Isaacs.
Lovely.
Yar, indeed. So, with that being said, you have any closing statements, questions, anything like that?
You actually sort of stole my
what
question.
What movie would be remade?
Yeah, I was like, if you could have a movie or a franchise given the Hook treatment, like, what happens if this character, like, what's next kind of deal? Not necessarily a sequel, but an evolution of the story. Like, what if this person grew up? What if that person grew up? What would it be, I guess?
So, like, Hercules is my favorite Disney movie. And I'm worried that I'm like worried but excited at the same time. If they were to choose that as a live action, I'd almost be more inclined to see a remake of it because that's one thing I always notice of Hercules. I'm like, ah, it's too damn short. Like, I want more from it. But I'd also like to see, you know, what happens after the fact. Like, after that, you know, Hades gets dragged down into like the death pit, but he could always. You know, he's going to be awful mad when he gets out, if he gets out. But what happens if Hades does get out, and then you got, you know, Hercules going on Meg. They might have a child or something. That child's going to have demigod powers rocking. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of stories that could be told in that aspect, and I love Greek mythology. So I've always kind of wondered, like, you know, could they do more in this Hercules universe? Mm-hmm. So that's something I like. But also, I've always thought that it would be cool if they could expand on something in the vein of, like, some of the old cartoons we used to watch. Like, and not even, like, to say, like, the Peter Pan where it's a live action or two live action. Just show us what happened, like, later. Kind of like what they just did with, like, Rocko's Modern Life on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You know, releasing a movie 20 years later and explaining what happens.
Yeah. They're doing something like that, too, with Invader Zim, I think.
And, like, you know, you could even do – I would watch it. Like, I liked All Grown Up, Rugrats All Grown Up. Like, you could do that with Hey Arnold. Like, what are the kids up to now? Like, I would watch that. Even though, like, I wasn't, like, terribly huge into Hey Arnold, but at the same time, I grew up with it.
They kind of just did that, with Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. Or, like, Batman the Animated Series, they did Batman Beyond, and, like, I like that. I like those, like, where you get to see, you know, what happens. It's not the end-all be-all, because obviously something continues. Something keeps going happen. So I would like to see some of that, like, Ed and Eddie would be funny to see, like, a movie or an episode. Yeah. Like, what are they doing now? Billy and Mandy. Like, what are they doing when they're adults and Grimm is still there?
I was going to say Dexter's Lab, but they kind of do that with their movie.
Yeah.
That was good.
Isn't he ripped to shit?
There's all different forms. Yeah. The
I remember
to
the
shit.
Old one.
There's a really skinny one. It's like, I don't know. And then there's the old one. It's like, hey, Billy.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah, no, I would love to see some of those old cartoons, even like SpongeBob years down the road. Like, what's SpongeBob doing? Would be interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's something.
What
I always
if SpongeBob wasn't a kid?
What are Drake and Josh up to lately?
Hey,
yeah,
who knows?
I've seen pictures of Drake, and I'm like, you look old. And I see pictures of Josh, and I'm like, you need to gain some weight.
What are Keenan and Kel up to?
They just did something together recently. Because Cal is on a Nickelodeon show. Keenan is on Saturday Night Live.
I thought he's leave or left that, or is he
didn't
still
leave it yet. Yeah. He might be soon, but I think he just made a stop on show, and then they brought all that back. Mm-hmm. They've been showing that, and Keenan stops in on that every now.
Cal's
and again.
Cal's on that a lot.
Yeah.
Also.
That's
good nostalgic things there.
Yeah,
and I guess. We lost Robin Williams a while ago, and this episode was to it was kind of for Robin, and we're gonna do more of his films in the future now that we've knocked Hook out of the park, just like Jack did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He can't hit the curve, but he did that time. My Jack. If you could place Robin Williams in a recent film, something you could put him in, like within the last 5 years, what movie would you throw him in?
That's
real random and it's real out of the blue, but yeah.
Like to play a character that's
mm-hmm.
already been played.
Mm-hmm. Or
because I was gonna say like I've always wanted him like really bad to be like Hugo Strange. And
I was gonna say something like that. Yeah, like if he were alive today, I would have liked him to be like a Hugo Strange in like a Batman movie that was rumored back in 2012 when they were doing Dark Knight Rises. Which that character obviously wasn't in that film, but that made me hungry for that for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm trying to think of like what are the movies that have like the. I'm thinking like Marvel, like Marvel characters, because that's been like the you know the end all be all, and they get so many great actors in. Like who could have been in a Marvel movie? Hank Pym.
Yeah. Or even though the character wasn't that interesting, maybe like a Zemo.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Civil War.
That'd be really good. Well, he's coming back though mm-hmm. for the Falcon Winter Soldier. That'd be good. I'm trying to think of anyone else. Because he would have been a good Red Skull.
Yeah. Well, so is Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving was.
And the new guy they got now, he's really good.
Yeah, I don't think Red Skull will ever be in anything else though. Yeah. But I digress. With that being said, you got anything else?
That about does it. Wraps it all up.
Well, that is the show, everyone. I know it was a long one, but we could talk for years on this. But with that being said, that was the end of the show. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is where we primarily post our podcast. We send it there. That has all the links to our social medias and our kind of like our central hub. We post it up there, and then Audioboom sends it out to all the other podcasting sources. So if you use Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, we're there. Just check us out there. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're posting, you know, what episodes we're going to be watching for the week, any different memes Gus makes, GIFs, clips from the show. Sometimes we do polls on what we should watch or ask questions, and we always enjoy it if you shoot us some feedback or let us know what you're thinking of the show or any ideas you have. We enjoy that thoroughly. Also, you can find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You type in The Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. Give us a like. Follow us along. See what we got going on. I post links to everything Ben mentioned just now, as well as the memes I create about the films we're watching each and every week. Like us, follow us, share what you see, all that good jazz.
And that. So, with that being said, we hope you enjoyed the show, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Bangarang! Yay!